the critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Eryou.
We are your TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. And we're back for our third installment of The Traitors Season 2 Recap, covering episodes 6 and 7 of The Traitors US. Brandi, how are you feeling about these last two episodes?
I love this show. Like, I just love this show. I look forward to it. I look forward to watching it. I look forward to gasping throughout. I live for everything. Like, I'm invested in every single person on it. I have such strong feelings about every single person on it. And I'm so happy to get to talk about it because, like, I can't stop reading about it. I can't stop watching, seeing memes about it. Like, I just want all of it all the time. That's how I'm doing with the last two episodes.
I love it.
Which were so great.
Two action-packed episodes. I also have a lot of strong feelings, and so do our guests today. That's right. We have two guests. The co-hosts of the Come Through Queen podcast for all things housewives. We have Brendan Davis and Dan Calabrese joining us. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Hi, this is Dan speaking for those of you listening. Not to be confused with your host, Dan.
Right, I know. We'll have the third Dan to talk about for at least a portion of this podcast.
Ooh, yes. So
this could be very interesting for at least half of it. Before we dive into these two episodes, I know you guys have been kind of covering the show on your podcast a little bit. How have you been enjoying this season? Is this your first season of Traitors? Were you season one fans? Like, give us a little bit of your Traitors backstory.
We were season one fans, but this season just like is so thrilling. Also, like me and Dan, other Dan, get to watch it together, which is usually very fun.
I love
just,
that.
Like to be with people. It's so exciting.
Yeah. I mean, we watched US season one because there were a lot of our Bravo representation there on the show. But as you all remember, that all dropped in one day.
Yeah.
So we couldn't cover it in the same way that we're currently covering season two. We essentially just had like a long conversation about season one in like one of our Patreon bonus episodes maybe. And then like now we're actually able to do this week to week, which is so much more fun.
Yeah
And you can kind of see the investment that they're putting in the show now. Like they just had all the cast fly to New York to do like major press, which like they hadn't done in the first season. They were all at like Club Coming with like Alan himself, which I wish I could have been there. But yeah, it was great.
I know, me too. Well, another question before we get into it. So you guys, obviously housewives, experts, super fans, the casting coming into this season, who were you really excited for? Who were you like, I don't know how this is going to work out from the housewives perspective?
Yeah, I think Brendan and I were probably both excited for Tamara because she is a housewives legend. But she ended up being such a letdown. First of all, just being sick that first episode and just disappearing.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, Phaedra has actually been like the face of Peacock. She was on the second season of Ultimate Girls Trip, which was probably the best season.
The best season. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's like dipped a toe into Dubai. She was added to the Married to Medicine cast. She filmed another season of Ultimate Girls Trip that will never see the light of day for reasons that we do not need to get into here.
I know.
Whoa. I didn't know about that. That's interesting.
Oh, you need to look into that. Yeah.
it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So those were probably the top two for me.
Not Sheree.
for me, I'm the Sheree fan of the two of us, I think.
Brendan's the bigger Sheree fan.
I just we're a Housewives podcast, but like we also dip our toes into like Big Brother. So for me, like Janelle was a huge person that I was excited for. And then like even just like being friends with our friend Evan, who like mentions Parvati all the time. I was like, I'm going to watch her. And so for some reason, I'm like rooting for her, even though like I've never seen any of her Survivor seasons.
No, me neither. But like I also like I'm on Team Parvati, even though like ultimately I'm Team Phaedra all the way. But like I hate Peter, sorry guys if you love him.
Okay, I had such a bone for Peter like last episode, but this episode I'm like, oh my god, this loser.
Well, it's actually the two episodes we're talking about. Like I think it is such a dichotomy of the first of the two episodes we were like really rooting for him, and the second one not accepting the traitor mantle was kind of a letdown.
Yeah. Like, come on, what's the name of the show?
Yeah. Right.
I want to win the right way. That's not this show.
That's not the show at all. Like, what are you doing?
I have a question for both of you. What do you feel about the Kate Chastain of it all?
Mm.
I was initially a little like, why? But her attitude towards the game, I think, is I really appreciate. And I think she's spoke to a little bit like this season, everyone is taking it so seriously and she just is not. And I like that balance. So I like her coming back in.
And well, I don't really watch Below Deck. I'm mostly Housewives, Vanderpump, and like every single like one season wonder Bravo's ever had.
Oh, like Gallery Girls.
Oh my God, Gallery Girls. Yeah,
oh my
love
God,
that show.
Gallery Girls. Are you kidding? Did I used to walk by? What was it at End of Century?
Yes. In LES, yeah.
I love that show. But like I don't watch Below Deck, so I didn't know about I don't know her from that. And then I also didn't watch last season, so I don't know her from that. So like I'm just kind of meeting her here and I'm loving her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was kind of iconic last season because she just like wanted, she was the person begging to be let out of the game and like nobody would vote her out.
Yeah.
So
truly.
She was like throwing everything, but she was so good. Yeah.
Yeah. There's two other Bravo related things that aren't in this episode that I just wanted to quickly mention. First, that Larsa, I heard you guys talk about Larsa, and I think like to have the knowledge of her two appearances on Miami. She was on the original run of Miami that was like 10, 13 years ago. And she was such a flop. She was dropped after the first season. She gave nothing. She came back for the Miami reboot. And at first it was like, what are you doing here? And then she's like kind of grown into her own on the show a little bit. And then the side of her that we saw here, I like became a Larsa fan all of a sudden.
He's like a psychotic super fan.
I can't believe how I was like, wait, I like Larsa. Like literally I was hating this woman. The way that she reacted to Gertie's cancer is abhorrent. But now like she's even growing on me this last episode of Miami. I'm like,
yeah,
okay, Larsa, yes, call out your crazy ass friend. Lisa is insane.
Yeah.
So yeah, I too came around on Larsa.
Yeah, Larsa's ascended. And then there was one thing I wanted to bring to the table here. So season one, Kyle Cook was on from Summer House, was on US Traders.
That's right.
I thought he was one of the best players.
He was like, the blonde guy, right? Blonde
yes.
dude?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like Dan's in love with him.
I do love him on his show. I thought he like wanted to play the game, understood the game, and then also understood that we were making a television show. Like yes. he yelled at the normal humans, like being like, speak up, we're making a show. Like, come on.
By the way, I love that you call them humans. It's my favorite thing.
We were supposed to have a Summer House representative this year. Lindsay Hubbard from the season was rumored to be on this cast. Ooh. And then apparently dropped out last minute because she kind of had like a mini Scandoval. Because everyone listening to this knows what Scandoval is. That was like the Vanderpump Rules big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On Summer House, there was like something a little smaller, but like a big deal in that universe. A wedding was called off weeks before it was supposed to happen.
Whoa.
And she was a party to that wedding and the person receiving the call off.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Oh no.
So that all happened like within a week or two before filming started. So I think she dropped out because like she's like, I have too much going on.
Wow. Who do you think took her spot? Or is that why there was a weird, awkward 21 person cast and then they added Kate Chastain?
Yeah, that's an option.
Was Lindsay supposed to come in? Because I could see Lindsay of like coming in and like shaking some shit up.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Maybe that's why they like added Marcus. Like maybe he wasn't supposed to be there.
Well, no. So I listened. So I'm a Johnny Bananas fan. Think about that what you will.
Ooh, that says a lot about you.
Well, listen, not as a person, as a character. Brandy and I are both long, long time Challenge fans. Mm-hmm. I think he knows how to make great TV. I wish he stayed around longer. But I listened to his podcast because he's been covering the Traitors and interviewing a lot of the cast members. And he had Marcus on. And according to Marcus, Marcus was called first to come on the show. And then Larsa was like, wait, who called you? I know that casting producer. Let me get in touch. And then they both went on.
Oh, interesting.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, he was good.
Yeah.
He was good at the game.
I was like, wow. Like, okay. So Marcus came to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's an exciting dynamic that, like, I hope they use in the future, bringing on a couple. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
I can think of other Bravo couples who will be good in the future, maybe like Craig and Paige, Summer Ooh. House and Southern Charm, like that kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh, Craig's such an idiot. He would be a Dan.
I know, but he's so hot.
There's also like fun mother daughter combos as well that they could do.
That would be very interesting.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. I feel like we should dive into these episodes.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
First episode that we're covering is episode 6, called Backstab and Betrayal. Where we left the last episode is everyone's coming for Dan, and he wants to murder Bergie, not knowing that he actually has the shield, because Peter's plan successfully threw him off the scent. Mm-hmm. Parvati sniffed it out instantly and is like, well, Peter's clearly lying. Dan didn't listen. And then we start the episode, and it was kind of shocking, like, Alan just kind of comes right out and is like, yeah, so Bergie was saved by a shield. Mm-hmm. Like, just right from the beginning, there was no real mourning time anticipation for the viewer anyway.
Yeah.
They were just like, yeah, they tried for Bergie and it didn't work, which I thought was interesting. What did you guys think? Like, why did you just tell us like that? Like, let him walk in at the end and like make it a moment.
I think we were like supposed to maybe keep our, like, it made us keep our eye on the traitors' reactions to everyone walking in. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a little weird.
Yeah, it was a little weird. So we're at breakfast. Parvati comes in first with Kate and Sheree, which continues a trend that I've noticed, that a traitor is always one of the first ones in. There's only been one time.
Now I think about that when I watch it, because you said that. Wait, the portrait of Alan in a crown, like a legit king, as they come into breakfast. Mm. There was like a close up on that this episode. Mm-hmm.
I noticed that for the first time too. I love that. How do you guys feel about Alan as the host? Have you guys watched other versions of the Traitors as well? Like, can you compare him to other hosts? Because I've only seen UK, the first season.
I have not seen other versions, unfortunately, but I think he's a perfect host. I also, I've seen interviews with him where he's talked about he doesn't know who anyone is, which is great. Like, he doesn't watch reality TV. So he was like, strangers are walking in, but they mean so much to many of us. Like, he didn't know who, like, CT was. And it's like, CT's been in my life for 20 years.
Right.
Like, yeah, so I think he's a great host.
Yeah. He also didn't know who Bananas was and clearly did not like him at all. I think Bananas was trying to steal some of his shine, and he had no patience for it. Okay, so at breakfast,
Dan in his stupid purple coat.
And this is our first like true introduction for me of Smug Peter. Smug Peter comes in. He knows that Bergie's not getting murdered.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, game on to his little crew. Checkmate this, checkmate that. And I'm starting to really, and I never had been a big fan of Peter. He was just kind of like, you're here. You're part of the castle, I guess. And now he's turning on his character, or the editing, he's getting a better edit. What do you guys think about Peter, like, in his plan and all of this stuff?
We were rooting. We were
really,
we were like, yeah, it worked. Go team. Cause that episode, it was still like so exciting. We didn't have Dan out yet. Like getting Dan out was more important to me than like Peter being smug. Like,
that's
Peter
fair.
Should be
the
smug.
The first thing I have written down for this episode is I need Dan banished today. Like, that was me during like the previously on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
I think me and Dan C were like pigs and shit rooting for Peter like a lot during this episode. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I was into his plan, and I was like, I feel like I think because I watched episode 7 most recently, that's why I'm like very anti Peter right now. But like,
yeah,
I was very much like, I want his plan to work. But like, even though I want his plan to work, I did feel like, get off your high horse, dude. Like, Parvati knew, like, you told the entire castle, like, you didn't do a good job of like putting this into action. But I'm glad it worked.
Janelle mentioned that on Bananas podcast too. She's like, why? Like, she was mad at Peter for telling so many people about the fake shield. She's like, you need to keep it tighter. This is going to spread. You're not playing your game very well. But it still worked, because I think Dan just totally mismanaged the whole thing.
See, I was so into it because there's something about, like, as much as I love the show, like, the game kind of sucks a little bit because, like, so much of it is just based off of nothing. Like, at least this season, they introduced ways for it to be based off of something.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter found a way for us to catch a traitor. Like,
that's fair.
Last season, there would have been no way to do this.
Yeah.
So I appreciated the fact that he like figured something out.
Yeah. And I will try and temper my my Peter disdain. I think it's after rewatching and after the following episode, it's kind of just started to bake in a little bit. But at this moment, you're right. Like, he made a good plan. It's bearing out.
And he is, like, really good looking.
I know.
Guys, like, I'm so, like, I'm angrily attracted to him.
I've never quite agreed with that. I think he's just fine.
I'm with Brandy here. After episode 6, I was ready to start a life, but after episode 7, it was divorce.
Yeah, like, we're getting this annulled.
Yeah. So then everyone comes in, Bergy comes in.
That reveal was amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Like,
I also wonder, who's the person who knocks? Because these people aren't doing the big hammer knock. So, like,
it's Fergus.
Whose job is Fergus is outside the door doing the knocks? And then Alan comes in with, I think, his wildest outfit of the season. Do you guys remember? This is the...
Wait, which one was this? The blue?
This is the tartan kilt with the blue shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And the hair with just a little tiny flip up.
Very Tintin.
Dan, I think he also looked like Cartoon Link in Zelda.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, he looks like a character from, like, a top-down Zelda game, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
So around the castle, Peter's feeling himself. Phaedra, I think, plays it off really well, talking to Peter, and kind of drops Parvati's name, just showcasing that she is truly the best traitor of the three so far.
Definitely.
Her mind should be studied. Like, she's so good at this game randomly.
I know.
Also, she's the only one that actually has breakfast at breakfast.
Yeah. Mm. Yes.
Boiled eggs.
Yeah. And she had a line at this breakfast, too. Like, after all the shenanigans, she's like, all right, I got to cut this meat. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
She's great. And then there's a couple chats. Like, Peter, like, he's talking to Dan. He's talking to Parvati. And neither are being convincing at all. They're both doing a terrible job.
Oh, God.
They're so terrible. Dan is so obvious.
Yeah. Dan is so obvious. And Parvati is becoming more obvious, too. And then we get to the mission. How do you guys feel about the missions, the challenges in general in the show?
It's better this year.
I think they're cute.
Than last year.
I would agree. I think they're cute. Mostly pointless, but I think they're doing better this year.
Like, the bird call challenge really brought me joy.
Epic.
Everything.
Best one of the season. That one was so good.
Yeah.
But it is weird how, like, I feel the prize pot is, like, kind of paltry. It's like, it can get up to only 250K. It's like, is that something for them?
These people are being paid close to that to do this.
Like, I know.
What are we doing,
like,
here?
So in that way, it feels like these missions are, like, such bullshit, but it is entertaining watching them do, like, challenge light.
Yeah.
And this one was specifically challenge light. So this was called the Cannonball Run. It was an all or nothing, 20K at stake. They need to basically run around the grounds, collect the parts to this big catapult, build it, put it together, and then launch it to hit a target. So along the way, there were, I think, 5 shields, like potential shield boxes. Mm-hmm. So if you grab a shield box and you put on the hay bale at the end, then you have a chance to get a shield.
Wait, my first thought was, like, there's no way that they're doing this challenge.
Right.
I was like, there's no way they're finishing this.
You didn't think so?
Yeah.
I think that they fudged the timing on some
For sure.
Absolutely,
like,
right?
They're not doing this. What do they have, like, 45 minutes? Like, no.
They had an hour for this one. Okay. But even so, yeah.
This and that first, like, barge challenge, they both miraculously finished, like, within seconds of the timer running out. Come on.
No.
Like,
I know. Highlight is Trishel going for one of those boxes as she's crossing the river and just totally leaving Kevin in the dust, which I thought was hilarious.
So funny.
The housewives crossing the river.
The housewives crossing the river.
Oh, my God.
The great crossing of 24.
So the people who grab the potential shields is Trishel, Sheree, Sandra, Parvati, and then Peter. But then hilariously towards the end, Kate almost just steals Peter's outright. And then decides it's too desperate and just drops it back down again as Peter's, like, running over to grab it.
Kate in these challenges just across the board is just, like, so funny to watch. This challenge was most similar to the one where she was also just, like,
misbehaving,
kind of throwing in the bag last year. It was, like, when they had to, like, cross the grounds and she was throwing, like, the money, like, down hills and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
She's a pleasure to watch.
She really is. And then they get to assembling the catapult. And this, I actually had a fond Peter moment. I'm like, oh, he's clearly a pilot. Look at this engineer go, putting this thing together and using these technical terms. And I'm like, okay, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then the most laughable moment, they put it together and they're like, who's going to pull it? John. Cut to John in interview. And I quote, to pull the catapult is the single most exciting moment in the game. I'm on cloud nine.
Really?
Poor John. If this is your single most exciting moment, what game have you been playing, sir?
This little leprechaun, I love him.
His running, you guys. I'm always like, I don't, can we, should we be doing this to John? He's, his asthma and like he can't run.
But does he have asthma, Brandy? He doesn't have an inhaler.
Not to skip ahead, but like Parvati, like pulling him through the next challenge in episode 7 was also iconic.
It really was.
Yes. So the team wins and then all the shield winners do the catapult 5 more times and Sheree gets closest. So she gets a shield.
So funny.
All caps. Sheree winning the shield. It's like, does Sheree even know she's on a show?
Sheree doesn't know what the shield does.
Sheree will like trip and actually win Traitors because she has no idea. She is going to be the winner of the show because she has no idea where she is at all times. Yeah.
Non-threatening. We'll just go all the way to the end. Okay, so we get back to the castle and this is where Peter just starts closing doors on people. And there's this group that I've started calling the Faithful Five, which is Peter, Bergy, John, Kevin, Trishelle.
Don't they actually have a name, though? Didn't like someone name them in episode 7?
Yes. Phaedra called them like the Peter Pals or something. Something like that, I want to say. Yes, the Peter Pals.
Yes.
Perfect. Oh, my God. That's so good. Oh my God, I love it. So the Peter Pals is now how they will be known going forward.
So we've learned in reality television, like through the Vanderpump Rules stuff, like because there's been so many interviews that like people don't get performance bonuses, but Phaedra should be getting a performance bonus for her work in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's giving us everything we need and more.
And you could tell like she's giving exactly when you need it, because like I track, or not track, but I notice like how often outfits change in interviews in like a single scene. And Parvati's are changing all over the place. They are pulling from like 4 different interviews with her. But Phaedra always looks the same. I'm like, you gave one incredible interview, it looks like.
Of course, yeah.
So good. The song drops. Now, how big of a fan are you guys of the Roundtable song? Because every time it comes on, I lose my shit.
The Roundtable theme.
The Roundtable theme.
So I have a little... not insider information, but I listened to Tamara's Traitors podcast.
Oh.
And her and Janelle have talked about when they actually are walking, they play the song from Hunger Games, which is very similar to the song that is actually played.
Whoa.
Wow.
Like going to the tree or whatever. You know what you know what song I'm playing?
Yeah. The hanging tree or whatever. Yeah.
They
said that they would play that song when they were actually walking out.
That's incredible.
And Tamara was Tamara was like, when I got home, I would just like play that because it reminded me of like being in Scotland.
Almost getting banished. Yeah. And then like they clearly can't afford the rights to put it in the edit, so they get like a knockoff version.
But like they did do the knockoff version, which is actually very funny. Yeah.
And the knockoff is a banger though. We love it. We absolutely love it.
I heard y'all talking about it in one of your previous episodes. So I was like,
It's good. Okay, so at the round table, and he's telling everybody, again, won't give anything. He's like, I'm going to reveal my plan. Will you listen? Mm-hmm. And his argument is this. I'll give the highlights, then we can discuss.
All right.
He says he's been watching one person since day one, collecting information. And he's like, let's play a little game like he's fucking Saw or something. And he's like, okay, the first thing is, who has never received a vote? And he goes, Bergy, Sheree, Phaedra, Sandra, Parvati. Mm. Okay, so now from those people... who has had weird votes? Sandra had one, but explained it. Sheree had one, but explained it. Bergy always goes with the crowd. So that leaves Parvati and Phaedra. So now you're like, okay, he's going after one of his traitors.
I was like, Dan is coming for Parvati and Phaedra.
And I thought he was going to go for Parvati. And it would have made way more sense. And he probably could have gotten her out if he played it right. Mm-hmm. I think he totally mismanaged it. But instead, he goes, Parvati had one weird vote for Kevin, but she explained it away. And that just leaves Phaedra. So now it really takes a turn. And he's like, she can't explain the Ekansu vote. Then also, let's look at her breakfast reactions. She hugged Larsa after Marcus went home. And she had an outsized reaction to Tamara and when she thought it was Bergy. And then finally, everyone likes you, which is the most suspect thing. Mm. At that point, okay, before we get to Phaedra's response, was anyone here convinced by his argument? Did anyone think it was going to work?
No.
No.
I don't even think he was convinced. I think like when Bergy walked in at breakfast, he knew the game was over for him. Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then Phaedra claps back and just point by point by point absolutely eviscerates him. Kate chimes in and she's like, what do you mean? Have you seen her? Of course he's a little bit extra. Like,
yeah.
Yes, Kate.
Not my Burgalicious was problematic.
Not my Burgalicious
was problematic. Burgalicious is problematic.
It was so good.
I was so here for Kate at this round table. I was like, get him out of here, Kate.
Yeah.
Me too. I want her like as my defense lawyer.
Yes.
Yes. So Phaedra has many jobs. Not only is she a housewife, she's a mortician. She's a defense attorney. She was Bobby Brown's attorney, like,
yes,
before she was on Atlanta Housewives. So like the attorney jumped out and like Phaedra gets knocked down a little bit. Cause like there's this famous scene from a reunion where she like reads Kenya. Mm-hmm. And people were like, this is a rehearsed read. Like you came in and like had this all scripted. And
the medium pizza.
Yeah. The medium pizza sperm donor thing.
Yeah.
So like Phaedra kind of like beats those allegations here because she's clearly like working off the cuff.
She's on the back foot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She didn't know Dan was going to come for it, her. So
yeah.
Yeah. This is off the dome.
And like, I do like that she had like some supporting cast members jumping in on her behalf, like for no reason.
Truly.
Yeah.
And Bergy too, who is like,
Bergy.
Yeah. Like why would, you know, what'd he say? I can't remember what he said, but he like kind of chimed in, but then also revealed on the Bananas podcast. I hate to keep dropping it, but like there's good info.
Not the Bananas podcast again.
there's good information. Bergy was like, we knew it was Dan and Parvati. We also suspected Phaedra, but I didn't want to let that out yet. So I was playing the long game by supporting her. And I'm like, Bergy playing the game.
Mm. Wow.
Well, because I mean, he's her Burgalicious.
Right. Exactly.
I would stand by her.
So yeah, so then we get to the vote and it's 11 for Dan, Phaedra, Sandra, John with a weird speech.
I put John's mini speech. Yes.
Yes. Treachery deserves to be punished by banishment. Clocking two moments in one episode. Good for you, John.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably your best showing so far.
House of Commons represent.
Yeah, exactly.
Was he good in that space?
I don't think so. I think he was known for literally like yelling about order.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
I think they all do that though. That's like that's the job.
But he was a speaker, so he was like banging shit and like trying to yell over everybody else.
So he was like Nancy Pelosi.
I know, like who is his equivalent?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Get Nancy Pelosi into the castle.
Pelosi on traitors.
Oh, a couple stray votes. Peter voted for Parvati to remind people after Dan's gone to keep looking at Parvati. And Dan voted for Phaedra. Dan is banished. He reveals he's a traitor. So then we're back around the castle. Dan's gone. Any parting words for Dan? Is anybody even a little bit sad that he's gone at this point?
No.
I, as a big brother watcher, would like to review who we consider legends in that space. Because if he's one of them.
Interesting.
I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's like all this stuff about like, oh, I came out of retirement for this. I was like, you came out of retirement for this? Like, listen, I'm not good at these games and I would have been better at this than you are.
Exactly. Yeah.
And also like coming out of retirement, he played twice, right?
Yeah.
Like Parvati, Sandra, they've been on like 4, 5, 6 seasons of their respective shows. Like that's coming out of retirement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. I mean, they were, I think this 2 seasons he played were close together. So he hasn't done a show in a very long time. Like Sandra and Parvati.
Yeah. He said it was like 10 years.
Yeah. Sandra and Parvati both did Survivor more recently.
Right. They did Winners at War.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So we're back around the castle. Dan is gone. Trisha, I think, makes a really smart point here. She's like, well, Dan obviously was a traitor. What would a traitor do? Try and get out another traitor. So now she's thinking like, oh, I actually think Phaedra is now. I wasn't before, but now I'm pretty convinced. And I thought that was a good pickup by her.
I was surprised that Trishelle got that.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah.
When Brennan and I were watching Dan go after Phaedra, we were like, oh, fuck, like she's screwed. Because when they find out he's a traitor, like there's going to be the spotlight on her.
Right.
And now that you're mentioning that Bergy had an idea that Phaedra's a traitor, it's making me think that like, everyone knows it's Parvati and Phaedra at this point.
Yeah.
It's certainly Parvati, for sure. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I was also listening to, right before this, Sandra was on...
The Bananas podcast?
No, actually. She was on Drop Your Buffs, the Sean Ross, Evan Ross Katz podcast, yeah, yeah. And you mentioned Evan. And she was talking about how she was okay with knowing who the traitors were and keeping them in the game, knowing how the end game goes. And she's like, if we can keep them here until the end and then just get rid of them at the very end, and there's fewer faithfuls around to spend that money, that's also an astute way to play. So I'm very interested where this is going to go. And like, maybe they just keep fucking Parvati around or keep Phaedra around until the last minute. I don't know.
Yeah, they don't really talk about that aspect of it, of trying to whittle down faithfuls to get a larger chunk of the end prize.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's where like my question is with fucking Peter.
Yeah.
Because it's like, why would you choose to still be a faithful? I would love to be a traitor, obviously, because that makes me have better odds, right?
Truly. And the game is tipped towards the traitors. Like, it's clearly like they have the advantage in the game.
Yeah.
And I feel like to win the game, you want to win this game, you need to be the traitor who takes all the money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like that to me means you've won.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so what happens next? Oh, we're in the turret.
The turret. Turret time.
For the first time, just Phaedra and Parvati. Mm-hmm. Phaedra with a killer line delivery. If I wasn't in Christian Woman, I would rip his heart out talking about Dan. The per capita iconic lines from her is off the charts.
Yeah.
You know, like there's no filler. It's all killer.
Mm-hmm. How much do you think Phaedra hates Parvati? Because
a lot.
Like if we're talking like scale of 1 to 10, like we're most definitely around like a 9.75. Yeah.
Which makes me sad because I love them both, but yeah.
But you could see her like literally biting her lip in the turret, like not to like lash out and like just put her in her place. And Dan, when Dan was up there too. So Alan comes in. This was weird to me because like since when do they talk about specific rules to the traitors, but he goes, as the rules dictate, now that a traitor is gone, you can recruit one. I'm like, what rules are you referencing? Where's the book?
Yeah.
Can I review it? Like,
I thought it was just something that I missed.
What are these rules?
Yeah. No,
I was like, did we get a playback of this?
This show just like goes on vibes. Like there are no rules. Like truly. It's just vibes.
Truly.
Which is good.
I did get chills when he said the either or with the traitor, like either you can recruit someone or murder someone.
Yeah,
totally.
That's a good twist.
But if that's the rule, that's so frustrating as a faithful. It's like, okay, we got a traitor out, but now there's just another traitor. Like,
right.
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, that's why I say the game is so tipped towards the traitors. Like if you're not a traitor, I feel like it's very hard to win.
Yeah.
To that point. So Parvati jumps in and is like, well, that's gotta be Peter. Like he's on my ass. You know, if we murder him, it'd be too obvious. So let's recruit him and watch him murder his friends. Mwahahaha. I'm like, which is kind of funny to watch, actually. I like that moment.
Yeah.
And then that's the tease. That's the end of the episode is will Peter accept? We see him opening the door. He sees the, like, he gives like a death stare to the envelope on the chair. He thinks he's getting murdered. He opens it. He gets seduced.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know if he's going to take it or not. So when that happened in the week between, what was your thought? Did you think there was any chance he would reject it, or do you think he would obviously take it?
I thought that he would take it, and I thought he would take it and then still try and get out Parvati and Phaedra.
I agree.
That's what I thought was going to happen. Because I just don't see why you wouldn't take it. Like, it doesn't make any sense to not take it.
Exactly.
I thought game-wise, he was going to take it. But then I thought trailer spoiler-wise, maybe he was not going to, because we still have not had the Phaedra. Mm-hmm. We're not on The Bachelor, and I don't need to earn a rose from you, Phaedra, Peter moment.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't think about that. What I was thinking was, and we were texting about this, Brandy, in between with a few others, and everyone was like, he has to accept. And I'm like, everything about this edit is telling me he's absolutely not. Like, they are setting him up as like the fall guy, the martyr. Like, I really don't think he's going to. And then, Brendan, wait for it, on the Bananas pod.
Not this again.
Bergie is just a fountain of insight, because he talked about before banishing Dan, because what's clear is like they've watched the show and they know kind of how it goes. So they know that if they get a traitor, that someone will be recruited. And Berger was like, we had a conversation and I told everybody, if I get recruited, I will not accept. I will stay faithful. And he's in the Peter Pals. So I feel like that was kind of like the company line. So after Berger said that, I'm like, okay, there's no way Peter's going to accept.
Yeah.
So now on to episode 7, Blood on Their Hands. We're in the turret. The seduction letter has been sent. And again, like the last season, pretty instantly, Alan comes back in. He's like, knock, knock, you rejected. Sorry, you guys fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Well, from that point, I was like, I am completely not on Peter's team anymore. That's how fast it was.
It's just a bad move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like in the turret, when that comes back, when you said, you know, Bergie walking in was Dan's final like straw. Mm-hmm. I think this is Parvati's final straw.
Yeah.
And I think the producers knew it and had to do some moving and shaking in the rest of this episode, because imagine if two traitors go out in back-to-back episodes. I don't think they want that.
Mm. So I had that same thought when watching this episode. I was like, this is such a weird episode. Something must have like happened.
Yeah. But
apparently they did this same like fire ceremony.
Fire council or whatever.
Event in UK. And there was not, like, it wasn't in response to like an episode that just transpired like this one did in US.
Interesting. Well, I'm sure they had it planned for at some point, but maybe they bumped it up.
Maybe.
You know?
Also, Joel Kim Booster tweeted something similar, being like, this seems off that like we are like set to get this one person out and now we're having like this like brand new thing.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. We'll get to that. So, but yeah, Parvati in this moment, like, before knowing about that, I'm like, she's fucking toast. Like, she's absolutely gone next. Phaedra agrees. We're at breakfast. Again, the first people in, Bergie and Phaedra. The trend continues. Open your eyes, faithfuls. It's right there in front of you.
Even if they open their eyes, there's going to be more traitors. It doesn't even matter.
You coaching the faithfuls after the fact is like kind of iconic.
You know what? For future faithfuls, season 3, take note.
Faithfuls, listen to the Bananas podcast. They know.
Exactly. So we're at breakfast. Interesting little, fun little Phaedra, because it's just her and Bergie. And she just calls out like, you're just in like Peter's gang. And Bergie's like, yeah. And like, okay.
I thought the like Bergie in this breakfast thing, I was like, he is so confidently like telling everyone about how he's in this like group. And I was like, Bergalicious, just please like hold your cards a little closer, babe. I love you. You're so cute. I would like to give you 3 kisses, but like, please, please hold it closer.
I agree.
Yeah, I feel like Bergie doesn't really know how to play this game.
He's playing fast and loose. He's getting buoyed by his position in the Peter Pals. And he's just like letting things slip.
Yeah.
He's just from a world of love. Like, the gamers are from gamers. And like, housewives are actually gamers too. Cause like, to remain on the show, you got to play a game. And they are playing their own game.
Yeah.
The lovers are just like on the island loving each other.
Well, I did want to mention that, cause you're right. Like, the housewives are playing their own game. Phaedra is certainly playing a game. But then she also says like, Parvati had the worst decision ever. And she said this about Dan's decisions before. And in my mind, I'm like, well, you keep letting it happen. You're also a traitor. You have a say and you keep letting these bad decisions happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think she's got to take a little bit of ownership in some of this.
Mm. She killed Tamara.
That is true. She did kill Tamara. That was a good move. Peter arrives and it's the most awkward thing I've ever seen in my life. Like that weird, like, almost hugs Parvati, but then doesn't. And they just kind of like touch hand to shoulder. I'm so like, weird. Oh my God. Like, wanted to jump out of my skin.
Yeah, he didn't know how to play it.
And then Parvati starts calling out, tries to like play her last card. Like, okay, so then who was recruited?
Yeah.
Peter, that's interesting. You think I'm not a traitor anymore. Why are you changing your tune?
I like really loved her in that moment.
I did too. I don't think it's clearly going to work. And I don't think anyone was swayed, but I like seeing her like just playing
plant
as
the
hard.
Seed.
Just
plant the seed.
Play the game. Play the game.
It's everything is out of nothing anyway. So just make some shit up.
Yeah. She's like, hey, bitch, we're here.
Yeah.
I will say though, I don't know if you guys could see this. You guys watch a lot of reality TV. Could you hear and see the Frankenbites at this breakfast. Like, there was a lot of poverty lines that were clearly cobbled together. This is where I noticed, like, they're cutting from three different interview looks in this moment. Mm. I'm like, they're really working hard to make story work at this breakfast right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, I guess, like, I pay attention to stuff like that when watching The Housewives. And I think I have that part of my brain turned off while watching this.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I'm
not watching it with, like, the same, like, thinking about what's going on behind the scenes mind. Mm-hmm.
I envy you because I can't turn it off. I just can't.
I come into shows like this with, like, dumb brain.
Yeah.
Being like, mm-hmm. we're turned off. Yeah.
Like, on Housewives, like, I know, like, oh, this scene was actually filmed before other stuff that we've already seen on the show. Like, I'm thinking about, like, all kinds of crazy things. Here, I'm just, like, having fun.
Yeah. Mm. So we're around the castle before the mission, and a lot of stuff happens. There's a lot of action around the castle. This is where, like, the Peter Pals go, and they close the door on several people over and over. Meanwhile, in the bar, you have the gamers and the housewives, what they call the leftovers, which I thought was hilarious, kind of scheming.
I want to say something about MJ.
Please do.
MJ, once Phaedra got rejected from the Peter Pals room, MJ fucking ran to that room.
Yes.
Just to, like, me and Dan joke that, like, MJ's serving C, like, this entire experience. But, like, her doing that was, like, so great to me.
Yeah,
it was.
She's so wild.
No, but this was her ugly, like, her looks have actually been pretty good, and this is one of the ugliest abominations
so ever seen.
It's like an Ed Hardy,
like, what's the
shirt.
Color? What are we calling that color?
I don't know.
It's a skin tone shirt, and then her JNCO jeans.
Her having to hike those jeans up before she, like, walked out of the room. An icon.
But also, too, just the way she moved in that room really let that outfit sink in, because she, like, comes in and they're like, please leave. And she's like, okay. And she's kind of, like, not turning around, kind of backing up slowly as if she's,
they're
like,
going to start talking as she's backing up.
Right.
They're like, oh, well, she's leaving now. Let's start talking again. It's like, no, bitch, they're going to wait for you to close the door.
It's like she's backtracking from, like, a predator. Just, like, don't move too fast.
Speaking of, we passed by Parvati in her predatory headband.
Oh, that's right. The predatory headbands.
Oh, God.
What do you think about, like, Sandra's pool table moment?
I loved it. I said, Sandra, yes, I am here for you with the pool balls demo.
Loved it. I so here for it. It gave me such strong Survivor vibes, but normally that's just, like, people counting with their fingers on the beach. Like, okay, we have five here and four here, and if this happens, this happens.
Yeah.
I love the visual. I'm a visual learner. I love the visuals of the pool balls and Peter in the center surrounded by his pals, and if they get two, then we're fucked, so we need to make sure. I'm like, I loved every minute of it.
I was like, Sandra's coming up, and I'm so happy, because I feel like I've heard all of this talk about her and, like, how she's so good and, like, da da da, and, like, that episode I was like, okay, I'm seeing her come up right now.
Kate took the words out of my mouth. She's like, this is the best thing I've ever experienced. I'm like, yeah, it would be for me too.
I enjoyed it, but it felt like we were on the Survivor Island playing that game, because, like, that game is a numbers game of, like, okay, we need, like, this many people to vote this. Here we're supposed to be trying to find out who the traitor is. So, like, let's do that instead.
No, but I disagree. I like the layers of it, because, like, especially after hearing Sandra talk about how she was, like, running the game in her head, she's like, I don't care if there's traitors in our group. In fact, I'm pretty sure that there are. But this game isn't just about getting traitors out. It's about thinning faithfuls, because we can't all win.
Yeah.
So she's like, there might not be any traitors in Peter's group, but if we can get all five of them out, that's more money for me when I eventually oust the traitors that I know.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they were allowed to talk about that on the show.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Also, Sandra's been posting a lot from her trip in New York, and she does reels, and it always is Empire State of Mind as the music that she's playing. I think she's posted, like, six posts that are the same music.
I mean, it's an iconic song.
Truly the first one I think when I think New York.
Yeah. Obviously. Okay, we move on to the mission. This one was fun just for the sheer, like, action of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seeing people get trapped in nets is so funny to me. It's so goofy.
It's Looney Tunes. Yeah.
It's literal Looney Tunes. Yeah. Like, it's like the bird call challenge. This is Traitors at its best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Give me weird. Give me outlandish. you know.
I love the CT and Phaedra moment.
The love affair.
When they decided to be partners. Like, I was like, yes, like this
oh
is.
Oh my God.
Where's their show?
Can we talk about CT? Oh my God. Ugh.
CT. I love CT.
Me too.
Can't stop, won't stop. Like those just that the eyes, like his voice, like just how he says stuff. I'm just like, CT, stop. You have no right to be making me feel like this.
Yeah, same.
And then when he comes in, and I think this is later, but the moment where he goes into the armory and puts on the fucking helmet and the shields, I'm like, oh my God, I love this man. Classic CT.
Comedy queen, yeah.
Yeah.
So I know, Dan, at least you, I know, keep up with the challenge. I don't know if both of you do.
Yes.
I've heard that he is, in his personal life, not in a great place in terms of like he's recently going through a divorce.
He just got married on TV like a year and a half ago.
Oh.
Yeah, well, that's there. It's gone. It's
oh,
gone.
I didn't know that. Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So maybe there's a chance for Phaedra and CT now that he's
oh, my God. Not CT coming in to be the king.
Isn't Phaedra on Married to Medicine because she's literally dating a doctor?
Yeah, but that's probably more of like, I'm dating a doctor to be on Married to Medicine.
I think like the dating is suggested. I don't think it's necessarily
there's an asterisk
real.
We need CT to get into physical therapy so they can start dating and still technically be married to medicine, you know?
Well, I think, not to go into Housewives too much, but I think like the thing is like Candy leaving Atlanta Housewives leaves an opening for Phaedra to come back to Atlanta Housewives. This is too Bravo, but yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's interesting.
That might be the thing.
Interesting. So this mission, we could breeze through it pretty quick. It's not super, nothing really happens other than they pair off. They need to run through the woods. There's 20 grand at stake. They all pick up different size bags, which again gave me a little bit of like Kate Chastain vibes. Like, don't throw this one away, Kate, please.
Yeah.
And they have to answer questions. So like, what's the name of the woods? What's the shape in the middle of the table? What's the Latin phrase in some room in the castle? Like, it was kind of whatever, but when you get it wrong, one of the pair needs to go and like look at the answer, and if it's wrong, you either like fall into a mud pit or get snatched up by a big leafy net, which was just I loved every single person that got snapped up by the net.
I love both Peter and Bergie in the mud.
It was great.
Like Peter going into the mud and him being like, oh, I really needed the shield. I was like, yeah,
him being taken out first was actually like iconic.
Yeah,
I will say this game actually is very Big Brother, where like in Big Brother you have to study certain things that are like on the walls in the house and like that kind of thing. So I don't think these people knew that you have to like actually pay attention to like what the sign in the kitchen looks like.
Right.
But this is like if it was Big Brother people and nobody,
everyone
from
would
Big
know
Brother.
It.
Is left, so like everyone would have known it,
you
know?
Oh, fair.
Like on Big Brother they just like sit there quizzing each other and practicing, like this happened on day 23. Like you have to know like an insane amount of knowledge about the game by the end.
So if Janelle was still around, she would have had
oh my God,
she would have killed you.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. The only two pairs that make it all the way through are the aforementioned Parvati and John, which I actually thought it was a really cute pairing. I kind of like, this is the most, and I love Parvati, but like seeing those two together just like really warmed my heart for some reason. Like I thought it was so cute.
There's a screenshot of Parvati and John. They're like holding hands and Parvati's like running ahead. Her hair is flowing. She's smiling. It looks like a pharmaceutical ad. It's so like, I'm so obsessed with the screenshot. I've been thinking about it since someone posted it online.
Oh, that's awesome. The other pair is Kevin and Sandra. They make it to the end. Combined, they add another $8,000 to the pot, which I'm like, that was a lot of work for not a lot of money. I know. Whatever.
I have a question. First season, didn't Alan just like add all the money to the pot if you guys are able to do this one challenge?
This is what happens. These challenges, the money means nothing because the final challenge, they always win and it always boosts the pot up to what it should be. Like the money here is literally meaningless, but it doesn't matter.
So stupid.
The only important thing is that Kevin and Sandra win a shield. Sandra adorably freaks out because it's her first shield. And I thought that was really cute.
Mm-hmm. I was like genuinely happy for both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also I thought I heard from somebody that like Sandra never actually like does the missions. She always just, that she always hangs back. Cause I was like, wow, Sandra's like really doing it this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that tracks.
But I don't know anything about her from Survivor.
Survivor, she was never a challenge beast, as you would say. Mm-hmm. She was always a social beach game player, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. So then after the challenge, we are at the castle. This is where CT goes to the armory and has his little shenanigans moment. Okay, so this is interesting. The Bravo folks and the gamers are all like, all right, it's Peter. We all agree we're going for Peter. Mm-hmm. And then CT fucks it up. And this is the first of two moments that I was mad at CT this episode. But this is the first one where he goes and tells fucking Peter. He's like, mm-hmm. hey, the Council of Queens is gunning for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's also why you can never trust men.
Yeah.
In general.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So then Peter grabs Parvati and Phaedra back into the bookshelf room for the most awkward conversation of the entire series so far. And Phaedra is not having it. She's like, I don't like mm-hmm. this. This is awkward. Get me, like, her skin is crawling. You can, like, literally mm-hmm. see it. And she, like, gets out of there as quickly as possible.
Peter was being psychotic. I, like, yeah. could not imagine being trapped in that room with him.
And then Alan summons the players and we get a new song that is very similar to the banishment song, but is notably different. These are the lyrics. I love how on the nose these lyrics are.
Dan, literally, I wrote the music. All lyrics are so on the nose. It's giving Love is Blind.
You know the lyrics?
I transcribed the lyrics. I'm obsessed. These are the lyrics. I am running. The end is coming. Who will save me? Who is about to betray me? Like, come on. So on the nose. I love it. So Alan takes him into the woods. It's nighttime. Like, the design of this, like, the concept of this, I really like. The only thing I question again is, like, that it happened now in this episode when mm-hmm. Parvati is so clearly in the crosshairs. I'm 50-50 on it because I love Parvati. So any excuse to have her around for an extra episode, I'm into it. But it felt mm-hmm. like, again, just kind of gaming the game, which I didn't love at the same time.
Agreed.
So the setup is this. There's no round table. There's no banishment. How would you describe, because they don't really name it. How would you describe what happens here? It's kind of like save a life down the line, basically. Mm-hmm. It starts with Sandra and Kevin because they won the shield, and then they need to save someone from murder later that night. And then the person that gets saved lights somebody else's torch, lights somebody else's torch, and down the line until five are left. And then those five are on the murder block for the traitors later that night.
Mm-hmm. It reminded me of something in the Squid Game reality show.
I haven't seen that yet. Do you recommend?
It's so good. Oh, my God.
It's really great. Well, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I love the original show. And then I was like, how can this compare?
Yeah.
It's insanely good. And the fact that they're able to produce something out of having 400 contestants to start with is insane.
That's my barrier to entry. I'm like, how are the, what is this, like, those poor story producers with this, these many people?
They're
like
so good at it, though.
Oh my
it's
God.
Insanely good.
And, like, everyone you care about is queer, which also helps.
That's great. Okay, cool. Cool.
Yeah, so it reminded me of that. Yeah.
The way it shakes out, so Kevin and Sandra have the first pick. They pick Sheree. And MJ is pissed.
Yo, she was so hurt.
I didn't realize that she and Sandra were that close. Because
yeah,
you could tell, like, either. Kevin had no choice. It was Sandra's decision because she's the smarter player. And she chose Sheree over MJ. And yeah, that was like, I'm like, oh, poor MJ. Oh, my God.
I agree. Also, Sheree choosing Phaedra.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was.
Okay. So help me, because I don't watch The Housewives, and Phaedra totally breaks down into tears. What is the backstory here? Why this is so significant?
This is insane. Okay. First of all, you probably have noticed this. Phaedra and Sheree have barely interacted.
Yeah. Yeah.
On this show.
They're kind of lumped together as other people talk about The Housewives, but they're never talking to each other.
So, I mean, when we have Larsa, Tamra, Phaedra, these are all people from different shows.
Right.
So they're only interacting like on Watch Happens Live, at BravoCon, blah, blah, blah. Sheree and Phaedra were on the same show for years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they know each other. So Phaedra got kind of kicked off the show from Atlanta. And this is going down a bad road. She essentially insinuated that Candy Burris, who's other than, like, NeNe and Candy are probably the two most famous people on Atlanta Housewives. She spread some rumor that Candy was, like, potentially drugging another cast member in order to, like,
oh my God,
sexually assault them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, like, obviously, it wasn't true. And Sheree believed Phaedra and then realized... Sheree was essentially, like, betrayed by Phaedra's bad behavior that season. Like Sheree wasn't involved in like the actual scandal itself. She wasn't one of the players, but like she was like crying during that reunion and everything. So they ended in not a great place. So maybe that might be have something to do with like why they're not interacting so much. Yeah.
Okay. So this is a big deal that Sheree picks Phaedra. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
But I do still think that Phaedra's tears were like mostly fake.
Oh yeah.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I was like, she knows how to play this game. It's like, she's okay. Like
for fans of Atlanta Housewives, it did feel like they were ignoring each other for most of the season until this like fire council thing.
Yeah.
Well, and there was the also the one episode where the chalice episode where Phaedra was like, you are not killing Sheree.
Oh, that's right. She did kind of back Parvati off Sheree that one time.
But that felt like a Housewives, like we're like, sticking with Bravo move versus a, well, like a numbers I'm saving move. Sheree.
Yeah,
sure.
Like totally, a numbers move. Yeah. So Sheree saves Phaedra. Phaedra saves CT.
CT.
And a shock to nobody.
But like Parvati was mad about that.
Wait, why was Parvati mad about that? Like that would have been, that's the dumbest thing Phaedra ever could have done. It's like everybody needs to distance themselves from Parvati right now.
Yeah. I think that was a producer in the interview moment. Like, aren't you pissed? And she's like, do I have to be? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm pissed. You know, I think it's one of those.
There's been like no public moment outside of like the turret or whatever where Parvati and Phaedra have like actually been friends.
Right.
So like it would be stupid to save her.
The only thing I guess is this new kind of like leftovers. They're all talking in the bar with the pool balls. But even that, like you're not going to be that high on Phaedra's list in everybody else's estimation. It would make no sense.
Totally. Sure.
CT though has an actual interesting choice here between Trishelle, who they've known each other for 20 years and they've seemingly patched up any former bad blood and are now friendly again in the house. Or John, which I guess he just thinks John is a politician and we really need his quote unquote skills in this game. I'm like, I don't get it, CT.
Well, like, I still was like, all caps, don't save Trishelle.
Yeah. Though I randomly think Trishelle could win this entire game.
I think she's kind of a good player at this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's been winning me back since running Peppermint off the show.
I'm not there yet.
I'm with you, Dan. I think she's kind of turning me back a little bit. And I felt, I did feel for her a little bit, but then at the same time, I'm like, wait, that also wouldn't make any sense because you're a Peter pal and CT clearly isn't. Yeah. Why would he choose a Peter pal? Like, so that was a little. So CT chooses John. I did scream. I was like, no, because now that John is saved, Peter's going to get fucking saved. And that's exactly what happened after a lot of anticipatory editing, which took way too long. John was holding that torch for like two straight minutes. Finally saves Peter. I'm like, fuck, CT, you fucked it up again. Like his missteps have kept Peter safe in this game.
I agree. But CT, if you're listening to this, I live in Brooklyn. You can come home. It'll be fine.
It's okay. You won't be mad. You won't be upset. Yeah. So this leaves Parvati, Trishelle, MJ, Bergy, and Kate unsaved. Obviously, Parvati's a traitor, so she can't get murdered. So the people on the block are going to be Trishelle, MJ, Bergy, and Kate.
I don't want any of them to go.
I know.
I mean, obviously, you guys know where I stand with Trishelle.
Brandy, you want Trishelle. I probably, if of those four, I'd have to go for MJ because Bergy is too much fun. Kate is so fun and just an absolute loose cannon. And MJ just kind of, she's kind of in the Sheree camp, just kind of floating along towards the end here.
But like for strategy.
I need a Peter pal out of here.
Yeah,
if I can't get Peter, then I need a Peter pal.
That's for strategy. It's got to be Bergy or Trishelle.
Yeah, it's one of those two for sure.
Yeah.
I think if they don't get Trishelle out this week, she could win the game.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that take.
I mean, she knows what's going on. Like the fact that she called out, oh, Dan was going after a traitor. Because if they did vote out Phaedra that episode, Dan would have been like a hero that got out a traitor.
Yeah. And we skipped over this, but during when Peter was closing doors on everybody and his little fivesome are talking, Trishelle was the only one to be like, because Peter's like, we're going for Parvati. That's what we're doing. She's like,
and she was like, we should go for Phaedra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really smart. And that was another reason that I was kind of like getting back on her side. I'm like, it's a good play.
Ooh, see, that's when I was getting off her side. Cause like, I don't want Phaedra to go home.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I was like, she's getting too close. Kill her.
So then we're back at the castle. Again, everyone just runs to the bar and it's super awkward because the last five come in later than everybody else and they're clearly pissed off.
MJ, I'm very angry and I need red wine.
Oh, MJ, yeah, yeah.
CT and Trishel, like, they have it out kind of. And CT, here's why I think he's a really good player at these games, because, like, I can't tell if he's being genuine or not. It seems like he feels bad, but that could all be an act, and I don't know which way is which, which tells me he's a good game player. So Trishel is really sad. They kind of go back and forth. Parvati is acting just, what is she, like, and Phaedra calls it out, like, she's acting like an ice princess. Yeah. And I agree, like, Parvati's losing control of this. If she ever had any control, it's rapidly deteriorating. Like, she is on the way out, which is a bummer, but, you know.
Yeah, I do think it's interesting someone like MJ is, like, taking everything so personally. Like, she goes into that bar being like, I cannot believe what just happened to me.
Yeah.
And as a Cancer zodiac sign, I feel her in a way. But I'm also like, it's a game. It's a TV show. Let's, let's give it a rest. You have a lot of money. You are a Shaw of Sunset.
That is true. You're right. I think she had a really effective interview, though. Like, the way she said it, like, this one cuts. I was nobody's first choice.
Yeah.
Which does speak to, like, one.
I mean, she's not wrong.
She's not wrong. And that's a pretty brutal thing to realize in one moment. Be like, fuck, nobody is really looking out for me. Because then it's like, do I have any friends here, really? And also, am I going to make it in the game? Which also kind of sucks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I know. Is that why is MJ getting murdered?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, nobody picked her first.
Yeah. Well, so we go to the turret in the last scene of this episode. By the way, on the way to the turret, maybe some of the best, Brandy, you'll love this, some of the best faithful sleeping in their bed shots we've had all season.
Dan, I wrote down the stylized B-roll is back.
Yes, it is.
Okay, it's back and I'm here for it.
Bergie with the teddy bear.
Did Bergie have a teddy bear?
Bergie's bear. He should, like, put that up for auction, or the show should put that up for auction. That'd be incredible.
I'd buy it.
Phaedra yells at Parvati, like, stop acting like an ice princess. You give off mean girls. You're Iron Maiden. You need to be more lovable. And Parvati responds with the coldest okay I've ever heard in my life.
Phaedra doing the Parvati faces had me cracking up.
Yes. Yes.
I'm here for the memes that I've been seeing that are just like the different screenshots of Phaedra doing the expressions. It's really great.
They're so good. So good. So they run through who's on the block. Kate is clearly not going to get murdered. They say no one suspects her. And she would be a great recruit if we get to recruit more, which I thought was really smart. Would love to see Kate recruited.
Agreed, yeah.
Love that.
Bergie's on the block because he's a Peter yes man, which, duh.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Trishel also in the Peter pals. And then MJ was a weird, like, she won't ever get banished and she can't be a shield, so she's kind of useless in this game, so maybe we get rid of her. I don't know. And they kind of tease, like, hopefully this works out, hopefully this won't add suspicion. End of episode. Two good ones. This show, I feel like every episode just keeps building on the last. Every time I watch an episode, I'm like, well, that was the best one of the season.
I know.
And the next one's like, well, that was my favorite of the season. Like, it just keeps building.
There's been zero filler.
Okay, so after seven episodes, our traitors are Phaedra and Parvati. Mm-hmm. We've only banished Dan throughout these two episodes. There was an attempted recruitment of Peter. He said no.
Loser.
Nobody was murdered across these two episodes. There were no murders, which kind of blows my mind.
Yeah.
And their total cash pot stands at just over $100,000, like $103,500. Okay. With these two episodes in mind, it's time to play our little mini lightning round, our BFF rundown. Yeah. So what is the best move by a traitor in these two episodes? This is tough. I don't think there are very many good moves by traitors in these episodes.
I mean, I think it was a good move for them to try to recruit Peter.
Agreed.
It just kind of gets glossed over because he didn't accept. So
yeah, but like that, he was the right person to pick for that.
I don't know. I want to stick on this for a second because knowing what we know, who would have been a better choice? Who would have accepted? Who would have been a better move?
Trishel.
Trishel, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or I think Kate, because they said it in this last one, she would have been a good recruit as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Agree, but Trishel would have been a good one to bring from like Peter's pals.
Yeah, we need it. We got to break up Peter's pals. We got to get some suspicion sown there.
She could have been a really good double agent because like there was kind of like some power struggles at the top, like her and Peter are disagreeing. Mm-hmm. So she could have started to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Burgalicious, second in command.
He would have said no. Bananas podcast. He admitted.
This fucking bananas podcast.
I'm only doing it now because it elicits a reaction.
Kate would have been weird because she had only just joined the table that night when they had to make that decision.
True. Yeah.
Oh, that's fair. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Who is our favorite faithful in these two episodes?
Sandra?
Ooh, yeah. I like Sandra a lot in these two. She was fun.
CT.
Oh, it's CT.
It's between those two. I'm going Sandra for the pool ball, the pool table moment. That is, I love that moment so much. I thought it was so fun. So CT and Sandra are our favorite faithfuls. And then what's the moment you remember forever from these two episodes?
MJ waddling in and out of the Peter Pal room.
Hiking up her pants.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm going to give it to that whole extended scene. The pool table balls to MJ, the back and forth. Like, that whole scene was absolutely gold. That whole stretch.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved Phaedra's completely impromptu evisceration read on Dan.
For sure.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Yeah.
Also, maybe best move by a trader.
Yeah. That's what I had down as my best move as a trader. Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. Okay. Before we sign off, any predictions? Who, if any, traitors do you think make it to the end? Do you think anyone gets recruited? Do you think any faithfuls can make it to the end and win?
I kind of feel like if a traitor is going to win, it's not going to be one of our two current traitors. It's going to be someone else. Because it feels like everyone knows Phaedra and Barbadier traitors.
I feel like it's like at this point, especially with the coverage of this show and how vocal a lot of these players are being, it's like the worst kept secret that everybody knows who the traitors are at this point.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I think I'm putting out three names who I think might be winners.
Okay.
I think Trishelle, Sheree, or CT might win. I think Trishelle actually might actually game it right. Mm-hmm. I think Sheree would accidentally win. And I think CT is hot, so he should also win.
But I could also see CT and Trishelle burying the hatchet and coming together and going to the end and kind of like crossing those.
Sure.
You know, kind of like turning on their own alliances and going to the end together. I think that would be a lot of fun to watch, actually.
Yeah.
Dan, do you have any predictions?
I think my only prediction is like, there's got to be another traitor coming.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Has to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It can't just be these two who I love, these two, but like something's going to happen that I just can't predict.
Yeah.
It's like a new traitor is going to be on the scene.
Here's my prediction. I agree. I think that Parvati will go in the next episode. Mm. Phaedra will have the solo responsibility of recruiting. Mm-hmm. But no one will suspect it as much because they've been like, oh, we've been through the recruitment. We then got another traitor. A lot of the time, and Janelle said this, I don't forget which podcast, but like a lot of them thought there was four this whole time, that it started with three because a lot of other seasons start with three and then they recruited one up to four. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people might still be playing with, oh, there's four of them. So there might be a world in which Phaedra recruits. That recruit then is able to turn on Phaedra, kind of like you were saying, a late game traitor comes in.
Yeah.
Is that Trishelle? Is that Sandra even? Like, that could be really interesting. Like, I would love a gamer to game. And I know, Brandy, you don't like hearing this because you want Phaedra to win, but I just don't think there's any way that these two traitors make it all the way to the end. I agree with you guys.
Yeah.
No, I mean, their days do feel numbered.
Yeah. I like the Trishelle idea. I'm kind of now in the Trishelle camp. Like,
yeah,
if she's a traitor, I would like her to win. If she's a faithful, I kind of don't care. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that does make sense. Yeah.
My prediction is that I think that we're not going to get one more, but two more traitors.
Oh.
And just really fuck the faithfuls up. No shot.
Yeah. But I think that when there are then like, well, then they'll just be the three because Parvati's out this next episode. I can't imagine.
She's gone.
Unless the twist for next episode is something that keeps her here, kind of like this episode was. But like, I don't think they would do that. I feel like that feels like a penultimate episode for me.
Yeah.
But I think that, so she'll be gone. I think that Phaedra will need to get two more people. And I think that something's going to happen in that like episode 9 where the traitors are going to have to turn on each other so that we only go into the last episode with two. That's what I think. I think I think this next episode is going to be, there's going to be a lot of things happening, guys.
Yeah. Because also, if this show has shown us anything, is that it does not care about rules or like repeating things. Like, they'll do whatever the hell, these producers will do whatever the hell they want.
And they will do whatever they want and say it's from the book of Traitor. Right.
That's why I'm like surprised y'all are both so certain Parvati's leaving next episode, because by that rule book, yeah.
I'm willing to be surprised, but yeah.
Yeah, they're going to introduce banishment shields that you can't be banished. And I think they're going to also introduce, if you're recruited as a traitor, you don't have an option. You just have to become a traitor. Like,
a non-denial. It's,
yeah.
Wow. Also,
yeah, there's no more seducing.
Like,
yeah.
Next episode,
you've been drafted. Sorry. You're drafted into service.
Like, next episode, like, Kelly Ben Simone from Housewives and Jujubee are going to walk in and they're going to be the new traitors. Like, we don't know. There are no rules here.
Guys, if Kelly Ben Simone came on as a traitor, she couldn't handle this show. She'd be like Deontay.
Yeah. Oh, my poor Deontay.
She'd be on like the charade level, like not knowing where she is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Dan and Brendan, thank you so much for joining us. This was such a blast. Where can our listeners find you guys, find your show? Tell everybody.
Yeah. Go to comethroughqueen.com. It has links to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, links to social media stuff, and it's all in one spot. comethroughqueen.com.
It is amazing. And you will have a great time when you go there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Are you guys on Instagram? Do you have, you know, anything like that you want to share? If not, you don't have to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on Instagram at Dan Calabrese, mostly posting food.
I'm at Brendan Davis, mostly posting like stupid shit.
Well, guess what, you guys? I will be following both of you. Thank you.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you so much, guys. This was so fun. Can't wait to see what happens next in the last few episodes of The Traitors. And until next time, goodbye, friends.
Bye, friends.
Bye, friends.